Speak It podcast is back. Hey, I'm John Wilson with Fire and Life Safety America. Got a pretty good show for you today. Candace Jenkins is back with Montgomery Associates, and we talk a little bit of if you're opening up a business, what is the insurance process like? And we also talk about if you guys are maintaining a building, what do you need to do as far as fire protection goes? What are fire marshals looking for? So we got a little technical show for you there at the end, and I hope you guys enjoy that. Get a tidbit or two, like we talk about, that you could use at work or pass on to somebody. We do like to educate you a little bit on this podcast about what we do, about our companies and such. So hope you guys get something out of that. That'll be probably at the 7-8 minute mark, so we'll look at that. But you guys know it. We are sponsored by David Pledge at Ram Tool. His number is 615-767-0553. I continue to market him and share him with the city for property management groups, industrial companies. Guys, use him. Give him a call. If you're curious about Ram Pledge, go to their website. They have offices all over, but David is the sales rep that we use here, personal friend. You guys enjoy working with him. You guys probably saw it, Nashville Predators. They lost last night in Colorado. They won both games in Nashville. Now they're going to play tomorrow, Wednesday. Hopefully they pull it out. I know that Colorado team is young, but they're very energized. I can see them coming back tied with the series on the way back to Nashville, and Nashville try to clean it up, but it's a tough series. It doesn't matter who you're playing in the playoffs. Last year, Nashville was the underdog, and they went all the way to the Stanley Cup Finals. So you got to play it, got to win it. So hope you guys are paying attention to that. I mean, we've got a suite here in Nashville where we got a big banner. One of our guys, one of our technicians, hung up a big banner that says, "Stand with us." I know you guys know that slogan. So hopefully the Predators will pull it out this weekend. I got a stroke of bad luck when I took my boys to the Ole Miss Vanderbilt game on Sunday. Ole Miss lost 8-7 to Vanderbilt, the local team. Both games in a doubleheader. It was 45 degrees, misting. It was cold. My boys loved it. Of course, they're watching the game a little bit. They're on a tablet. They're watching something, and we're watching the game to really watch for the foul balls, so the foul balls aren't hitting no boys. But it was awesome. We took a picture with the Ole Miss baseball players in between games. It was just a great opportunity to bond with my boys and Bill, my father-in-law. It's just great to do that. So, guys, we got great weather this week. Go out and see a Sounds game. Go to an MTSU baseball game, Vanderbilt game. It's sunny until maybe this weekend. We get sun during the week, then it's time to do stuff on the weekends, and then it starts to rain. Heck, it was snowing in Nashville yesterday, which was crazy. We just can't predict this weather. So last week, a couple different mornings, I was lucky enough to speak to three different shifts at the Lebanon Fire Department, which was really awesome. Really talked to them about fire sprinklers, fire alarms, and how it affects them. Had a lot of type of sprinkler heads, a lot of different broken stuff that we bring in to kind of paint the picture of what happens, what sends an alarm, and how their teams are dispatched. It was really cool and it was really an honor to speak to them because these are guys, without question, are willing to go into burning buildings to save us, our families' lives. And so, but it one reason I was speaking to them, Brian Fountain, their training officer, wanted me to speak to them because they don't see a lot of these commercial applications and sprinkler systems because a lot of times they're going to different, you know, EMT type of calls, you know, emergency calls, or going to wrecks and things like that. So it was just a great opportunity to show them some things, share with them. And Brian actually came to see, we had some training with the Reliable Automatic Sprinkler, brought up their sprinkler valve trailer to our office in Nashville yesterday, and we shared it with our guys, how to drain systems down, different types of valves, fire alarm panels, and Brian came up, got a little training from that. So I just want to reach out to Brian and tell him how much I appreciate him allowing me to speak to them, how much an honor it was to speak, be in the presentation mode, speaking to the fire department, and just really appreciate what they do, not just in Lebanon, but all over Nashville and the country. These guys are willing to stick out their necks for us. And a lot of these kids grow up wanting to do that. And so we really appreciate them. Today, this afternoon, I'm going to be sponsoring an event with ServPro for the BOMA Emerging Leaders event in Nashville. We're going to really be sharing the sprinkler trailer again. A lot of these property managers don't have an opportunity to see some of these valves and the drains and how some of these are set up, how they operate. But they might come into contact with this in the middle of the night where they have to turn off a valve or drain a system to make sure the water's not continuing to go on the floor. If the fire's out, or if there was a false call and a sprinkler head went off, or there was a broken pipe or something. So Ryan King and Dawn Taylor, appreciate them at High Woods. We are going to have that event downtown at the Pinnacle Building. And then we're going to go over to the Florida Georgia Line Bar and Restaurant, do a little network and get to know everybody. So that's going to be really awesome. Really looking forward to that. Hopefully everybody's going to pick up a lot of this, and we're going to share this with people and make sure they can learn something about that. And so just appreciate Ryan and Dawn for having us out there. And then we appreciate with Reliable Automatic Sprinkler with Matt, Woody, and George to bring the trailer up, really taking the time out to share their resources with us. I know we are a client of theirs. We buy sprinkler heads, valves, things like that from them, where their equipment goes into your buildings, whether it be a commercial building, maybe an industrial building. They have dry valves, pre-action valves, wet automatic sprinkler valves, and things like that. Sprinkler heads, all different types. So just want to reach out and point out for Reliable Automatic Sprinkler, Matt, Woody, and George. We appreciate them. They do a lot for us. Now we're getting ready to get into our conversation with Candace. Stay tuned. Guys, if you're a new business owner, if you're new into that and you want to say, hey, what do I need to know about insurance needs? What do I need to know about employees? What do I need to have? Hey, we walk through that. And then once again, I kind of walk us through, if you're managing a building, what do we need to do as property owners, property managers, as far as fire protection goes? If the fire marshal comes, what are they looking for? Some of this stuff might be elementary to some of you. Some of you might get a little nugget to, hey, I need to get this stuff up to snuff, if you will. I need to make sure that we're paying attention to this more. So we will be speaking to you guys later on also this Friday with Jessica Bonds and the Get Outside store in Murfreesboro. She and Pegleg Porker are going to be giving some gift cards away for when we get our 1,000 download and somebody sharing something on LinkedIn, sharing some stuff on Facebook. Hey, somebody's going to get essentially get paid to go get some merchandise from their store and go get a meal from Peg Leg Porker. I'm working out that stuff with them. I'm also going to do a podcast here probably next week from the rooftop bar at Peg Leg Porker overlooking the city. Might have an artist. We've got some people lined up for some new conversations. And so look forward to that. Jessica Bond's conversation this coming Friday. And
welcome to the Speak It podcast. I've got Miss Candace Jenkins on with Montgomery & Associates. Girl, how you doing?
Good. How are you?
Doing pretty good. Thanks for coming to the FSA lunch and a customer appreciation day last week on Friday. Did you guys have a good time?
Yeah, it was excellent. Peg Leg Porker was super good. That was my first time ever having it, so it was great. Food was great and met some really cool people.
Yeah,
you had a packed house.
I know, it was a packed house, and we had a lot of close friends and close clients that could not make it that I was that said they were going to be there. So the amount of food that we got was perfect. I figured between 70 and 80. That's why we ordered food for about 100. So a lot of people got extras. A lot of people took some to employees and took some home, and I was really happy with that too. So it was great, and a lot of people texted me that morning, hey, I can't make it. Something came up. So it was good. Mm-hmm. So, and we had some fire marshals and fire departments last second not be able to show, and that was fine as well. So I'm glad you guys came, and I handed out some of your gifts yesterday, and people were extremely happy about that. So, I saw somebody open up and see your card and your letter and everything. That was pretty awesome. So,
good.
Thanks for sponsoring. So, glad you guys had a good time.
Yeah, it was great.
Yeah.
Nice to get away for a lunch and just kind of go somewhere where there's new people to meet and good food.
I know. And I was hoping that's what we scheduled on a Friday. I was hoping it was going to be pretty and sunny where people want to get away from the office because just let's get out of the office. And it was, you know, rainy first part of the day, but during the event, it was not raining and it was nice, a little chilly. And we kept the warehouse door open, but, it was a good event. So thanks for coming. I had a lot of people there and a lot of vendors supported it. So it's just neat to see that with just being in the business as part of Nashville with our company for just just really shy of 3 years. So, but you and I have been talking about kind of setting up something for our customers and some of our prospects on something that kind of baseline. What do we do? What's the number one thing that people ask us, you know, when we come to them or we're presenting to a team? And I kind of want you to kick this off. So let's kick it off with, what is the number one thing that when clients ask you, what do you do or how can you help us, or as a business owner, what do I really need? And let's keep it kind of fun, because, you know, this, we don't talk a ton of this stuff because we don't want to bore people to death. People are listening to this all over. But
insurance is never boring.
That's right. Says the person that gets paid by it, right?
Yeah, that's right.
So let's start that off. Hey, I'm a business owner. Canistry coming to me. I got this question. What do I need? What coverages do I need? You know, it's just, you know, whether it's a 10,000 square foot building I'm shipping or I've got a restaurant. Well, what do I need? And kind of how would you walk them through that? You know, we're going to share this with people. I want you to share this with your clients, share this with some prospects. Let's just kind of, how would you help them with that?
Yeah, I mean, as you know, every business is different. So you're going to be, you know, I deal with a wide variety of business owners. They all have different operations and different business types, you know, from restaurants to general contractors to, you know, the guy that's just getting started and he's opening up a retail space or a coffee shop. So, I mean, really, I'm going to say it depends. It depends on the business. But I would say the number one question that I really get asked is going to be about employees and whether they should be 1099 or really should they be W-2. So,
okay,
you know, first I'm going to say consult your legal professional. Just some disclaimer.
Well, you don't have your juris doctorate as well? Or is your JD?
Yeah, no, I don't, you know. I didn't have time for that in between, you know, childbearing years and building a business. So
that's right.
Yeah. So, you know, that's my little disclaimer. You know, ask your CPA, ask your legal professional or legal counsel really how is the best way. But most people that I speak with are actually classifying what I would consider incorrectly. And the IRS has a funny way, if you look it up, what is the difference between a W-2 employee and a 1099 subcontractor? And they don't really tell you. I mean, it's kind of up to their discretion and whether they want to hit you with a huge penalty or fine. So that being said, I always give the same advice, which is my number one question to them would be, do they only work for you? And if that's yes, then I would say you should really be classifying them as a W-2, which no one wants to do because they don't want to pay for part of the taxes. But I have seen it where we actually had a client years ago. He wasn't my client, but he was another agent in the office at a agency we had. And he was classifying all of his employees as 1099 subcontractors. They were only doing jobs for him. And one of them, and mind you, he was requiring them to be at certain places at certain times. But in order to get around paying their taxes, he's like, well, I'm just going to, you know, pay them as 1099 subcontractors, which a lot of business owners do. And one of them was disgruntled, called the IRS on him, and they had no problem doing an inspection. You know, $750,000 in fines later that he owed in back taxes. So you really just want to be extra cautious and careful. And if it truly is a subcontractor, you're hiring them for a job here and there, that's really a subcontractor. If you're hiring them consistently and they're really only working for you and you're requiring them to be at certain places at certain times, I would say play it safe and just classify them as a W-2. So that's probably the number one question I get asked, especially dealing with general contractors, dealing with, you know, flooring companies, for instance. They use the same guys over and over and over again, and they're only doing jobs for them. So really, I mean, they should be W-2 employees.
That's good. You know, starting a business, where do I start first? And it starts with people that are going to be producing the product the service or whatever you're, you know, advertising to your customers, somebody has to do that. And that's a great thing. Every time we have these type of conversations, I'm the first person to learn, you know, who we're talking to and what we're learning about. So that's awesome. So, that is good. So what about the kind of the next thing? Let's just quickly go into a restaurant. So kind of get past the employees and everything like that. Let's just say they've been there 5-10 years and they're thinking about, bringing you on. What's the next couple of questions they're asking you about insurance, workman's comp or anything like that?
Yes. I mean, workers' comp, that's really where we find out how they're classifying their employees. So what we just spoke about, if you have 5 or more employees in the state of Tennessee, you are required to have a workers' compensation policy. I always recommend it, even if you have 1 employee, because all it takes is 1 time, you know, for that employee to get injured on the job. And
yeah, absolutely.
They're going to expect you to pay for their medical bills. So if you don't have a workers' compensation in place, policy in place, you know, that's coming out of your pocket. So I always want to reiterate that to my clients, you know, that it's important to have, even if you just have 1 employee. Another, you know, area where we cover is going to be the general liability and the property. So if you own the property, or even if you don't own the property that you have your business in, so if you're a restaurant and you're leasing the space, you still want coverage for all of your contents, your stove, everything in there that is not permanently attached to the structure. You're going to want to have coverage to replace that. So, you know, that would be our next conversation. Hey, how much do you really have in here that you would need replaced if there was a fire? And that is, you know, that's one where they have to kind of sit down and think, but, you know, getting as close of a number as possible, that's our goal. Liability, that's going to cover them for if a customer walks into their restaurant and they slip and fall, which is probably the number one claim, especially in a restaurant industry, is a customer walking in, right? The floor is slick. Someone, you know, server spilled something on the floor. They walk in, they slip, they fall, and then you're on the hook. That's where your liability limit comes in. And you're going to want...
Good to know.
Yeah, you're going
to
want to have those. Yeah. So, you know, I never do under $1 million in liability. I actually think nowadays $1 million, I mean, that's nothing nowadays. So really getting at least $2 million or more is preferable in liability limits. But, you know, then you always have an umbrella option as well, so you can add extra liability. And I always quote and give you a proposal with that option and all of your options laid out, because really, you know, I want to be an advisor to my clients. I don't want to just say, hey, you know, I'm selling you, I'm swinging general liability and workers' compensation insurance. I don't ever want to be perceived as a salesperson, because I don't consider myself really in sales. I consider myself as an advisor. And, you know, I'm going to advise you which way I think is best. And then it's your choice. It's your ultimate decision whether you want to take that risk as the restaurant owner, as the business owner, and how much you actually want to cover in the whole grand scheme of things. So that's next. And then delivery. No one ever thinks about really delivery, but that's a really big exposure. You know, if you're not doing the whole Uber delivery, Uber Eats, as they call it, and they're coming and then it's Uber's exposure at that point. Or delivery dudes. We have delivery dudes in town. It's their exposure because they're picking up the food for somebody. But if you're actually having your employees drive their own vehicles and going out and dropping off a pizza, or, you know, going out and dropping something off to an event, like you just had an event, you know, Peg Leg Porker probably came out and they dropped that off for you guys, then that's an exposure. And so we need to make sure that the employees are covered. And if they get into an accident along the way, they're still under the clock. So we need to make sure that you have proper coverage there as well. So that's when, like, a commercial auto policy would come into play, hired and non-owned auto. So there's several options, but it really just depends on your business and your exposure.
Yeah, that is good. That's plenty to kind of share with people, kind of the first 1, 2, 3 things to look for, and if they're talking to you and talking to other insurance companies, if they're getting into a business or something like that. So that's a lot of good information there. So let's switch over to fire protection real quick. So I'll be presenting to people, and at the end or during the middle of all, they'll ask, if I haven't covered it yet, they'll ask, so what is required of us as property management professionals, or if I'm an owner of a building, what is required of us to maintain the fire protection system? Once again, with like you said, it depends on the size of the building. Some buildings may only have a handful of the fire extinguishers and emergency lights. Some buildings may have clean agent systems that's not a sprinkler system covering data centers and things like that. It just depends. But in Tennessee, you're required to at least do annual inspections on all your equipment. I'll be visiting an assisted living place here today, and they have to do assisted living places really across the country, but they have to inspect and maintain their sprinkler systems by an outside contractor on a quarterly basis. These people can't self-save them themselves, and they want to make sure that valves aren't closed. They want to make sure that if there's anything wrong with the sprinkler systems, people like us, the contractor, we find that during this quarterly visits. They, you know, for a certain industrial client here in Tennessee, we do monthly inspections on at least their sprinkler systems and extinguishers. Some we do their emergency lights and exit signs because their worldwide insurance company wants an outside contractor to do that. And so we have to do that. It's, you know, people wonder, you know, I won't, or they say to us, I'm not going to do anything until the fire marshal shows up on a surprise visit and makes me do it. And you know what that tells me? That they're okay with somebody getting hurt or getting killed on their watch. And I've had people tell me that. And it's just, it's,
wow.
You're perceived as you're coming in to say hello. Just maybe you're introducing yourself and you see that they're behind in their inspections just by looking at some inspection tags on whatever equipment that it might be, maybe a fire panel, extinguisher, and things like that. That means they haven't tested their systems, say, within a year or two, or say 4 years. We see some old stuff. That means people are just pushing it off. But they're hoping when a fire does happen that that equipment still extinguishes or contains a fire, or they're monitoring, like you talked about a couple weeks ago, the central monitoring station sends a signal to the fire department and the monitoring company to notify them that there's a fire or water's flowing. But they hope that that system works. But our systems, our sprinkler, fire alarm, extinguishers, everything is just like a car. They have to be serviced so they'll work properly. This is kind of like their oil changes. And if you don't do that, then you're really just allowing it to put things into play that this may not work when I need it to work at the most important time. And that's really important for people to know what is required of me. You got to do your annual inspections on all your equipment. If you're in a hospital, you know, we do work with hospitals all across the country. The same thing with the sprinkler systems there. And that's a quarterly basis, quarterly inspections there. And it's a mess if the hospitals, and you'll probably run into some hospital clients or people that work in hospitals. If we aren't doing our inspections properly and the hospitals aren't maintaining the inspections, they will lose accreditation and lose their scores and things like that, can lose funding. So it's kind of a, you can't escape it really, you know. And then the other thing people ask is, okay, so the fire marshal, whatever city, maybe Nashville, maybe Levitt, and maybe Murfreesboro. John, if they come out to our visit, let's say they do a surprise visit, what are they looking for? And so when I'm presenting or I'm telling this to people, say on a cold car or something, they may take you at maybe not as face value, but I work with these fire marshals. And here's what they're going to look for. They're going to look for your exit signs, your emergency lights. Do they work without electric power? You know, they're going to shut the power down if they can and see if they still work. You know, are the batteries working? Are the backup batteries working, right? The egress, and is there a second means to get out of the building for the people that are coming in? You see a lot of these club fires across the country, probably one, two, or three, or four each year, where 20, 10, and 30, and 40 people die because there's not good exit and emergency lighting. There's not a second exit for people to get out. And, let's go to number three. Their systems aren't up to date, and they're over capacity. So people look at these signs and just think these fire marshals and fire departments and city codes officials are just make this stuff up. And they're really there to help people like you and I when we go to an event, right? I mean, can you imagine you and I go somewhere it's not safe? Well, let's just go in because nothing's going to happen.
And then, right. I mean, that's the number one thing with insurance, too. No one ever thinks it's going to happen to them until it does.
That's right. And guess what? You and your brokers are going to say, you know what? I can't provide insurance on this because you did not take these other measures to make sure that I could pay for this claim. And right. So it's kind of like a full circle, what you do, what I do, and everything. It's just, so we're trying to, and I don't
know. It's all about safety, people. It's all about safety.
It is. And it's cheesy and cliche to some people, but it's like, no, what we do is kind of a big deal. It's like we have a reason for protecting buildings with insurance for worst case. And also in the event that a fire or something like that happens, the systems in the building can contain it or put it out so the building doesn't burn down and you don't get people hurt. So these are the things we try to educate people on, you and I, at different times, different customers. And then really this podcast is really a great medium and a platform to do that so they can not be perceived as just some salesperson trying to kind of walk them through what's the best measure, what do we do here. So the fire marshal for me, their surprise visits, you know, last thing with them, they're going to look at your extinguisher tags, your fire sprinkler tags, fire alarm tags, and they're going to say, are these things, have they been inspected within this last year? Because at worst case, they want it done with just annually. They need to have somebody on site doing things monthly and quarterly, make sure valves aren't closed, make sure extinguishers aren't missing or have been discharged. You know, all those common sense things that people just don't think a ton about. But they're going to check on that. And if they see any deficiencies, Candace, on any reports that a company like us has done, and that they don't see any of that, those deficiencies have been repaired or remedied, they are going to probably give them a pink slip of some sort and say, I'll be back in a week. I'll be back in a month. I'll be back in 2 weeks. And I want to see if this is done or you'll be fined or we can shut this place down. That's kind of what it comes down to. That's a serious topic. But, you know, but today, just kind of a couple of tidbits on number one, number two, three things that we deal with that we're trying to educate people on in a comfortable setting, you know, because once again, we're trying to grow our businesses. And some people don't want to, you know, hear how we can kind of, like you said, advise them through, make them comfortable through the insurance piece. Hey, I'm starting a business. What do I need to start with? Or what does your company offer? John, what about you? Well, what do we need to do about fire protection? So we probably need to come to a close real quick. Any other thoughts? And we're gonna use this. We can set up kind of a mini series with this, like we talked about a few weeks back. I think this is a kind of a good introduction on both of what we do, kind of setting up, hey, what's the most important things to educate people on? So, but anything else you want to close with at all?
No, I mean, I don't think so. I think I said what I came to say.
That's right. And we still want everybody to share this. So if you're a business owner, property manager, a director of, you know, chief engineering, anything like that, we want you to get some use out of this. We want you to share it. And if you need anything on top of this, contact both of us, but we'll provide some more information. But we try to share a little bit of what we do, but we don't want to inundate people with too much of our information to be like it's a commercial. Isn't that right, Candace?
So I always say if you have trouble falling asleep, and this is like the age old joke in insurance, which is not really a joke. It's really not funny. But the age old joke is like, if you have trouble falling asleep, just take your insurance policies out and start reading them and you'll be knocked out in 10 minutes.
I love that. That is going to close on. So we'll talk to you later on this week and we'll be sharing this here soon. Okay.
All right. Thanks, John.
Thanks.